Attention all citizens, it's time for Denizens of the Deep.
Kia ora, Martin.
Yeah.
Good, 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 good. So, we've got Martin Kleiner-Dieters here, and you are a record collector.
Rabbit.
Yeah, like many of our listeners, and like me. And you've brought in some music for us to listen to. And I just want to preface it with a couple of questions. One, what's the most stupidly expensive record you've ever bought?
Ooh.
The one that would irritate. So are you married?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to sort of be like, you know, her indoors or anything, but you know, like
before I got married, so that's all good.
Okay, all right, good. Yeah, all right. So what was the record?
A Beatles Butcher Cover.
Hang on a sec. I'm just going to get you to swap mics.
Okay.
Just swap over with Laura because that one for some reason is not giving us any joy. Hang on, we'll just do that. Hang on a sec. Let's try that.
Is that one better?
Maybe you haven't. Let's go now.
Is that working?
Oh, that's better. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
No. My most expensive one I would have bought before I got married. Thank God. Would have been about $1,800 Australian for a Beatles Butcher Cover record that I did about 20 years ago. So.
And was that like a gateway drug, or what first got you into?
I don't remember it. All I remember is the money disappearing out of my wallet and woke up with this thing.
What were you thinking? You paid $1,800 for an old bit of vinyl.
Oh well, a friend of mine was a bit of a Beatles nut, so we had a bit of a competition going. So throwing it in front of him for a while was value for money. So
okay, and the second question is like, what kicked it off for you? What got you into this weird habit? Which you see us, you know, these sort of, it's often kind of slightly older men, you know, kind of bunched around in the bins and record stores, shoulder to shoulder, kind of, you know, having these strange conversations about old records.
It's something you don't sort of get. It just sort of, you all of a sudden wake up one day and you find out you're a collector, you know. It just sort of evolves, you know.
Do you collect other stuff as well, or just records?
No, just records, actually. Too much money goes into that for me to collect anything else, so.
Okay, so let's listen to something that you've brought in. So this is... this is the Underdogs, right?
Yeah, this is an Underdogs. It's an acetate, so it's just an aluminium blank with vinyl sprayed on it. And what they'd do is they'd obviously put down their track, and then they'd listen to it. It's before the tapes and that came into play. So as far as I'm aware, this one is a slightly different version than the two releases of it. They released a single in 67 called Sitting in the Rain, and then an EP about a year later. So
will there be someone right now out there listening who's drooling as you describe this?
Well, I am at the moment, so. But this is an unreleased version of it. It's slightly different than what's out there. So like I said, it's a one of a kind,
okay.
which I mentioned.
Now, I noticed that because I popped it on our decks here, and I noticed that it's filthy. It looks like it's covered in some sort of cruddy mold.
Oh yeah, the quality should be okay. It is nearly 51 years old. So
is it something? Is acetate not something you can clean? And
no,
sort of,
no. It's only designed to be played about half a dozen different times, and then biff basically.
Oh my god! So this is one of the plays.
This is one of the rare plays. Yeah.
Because
no pressure.
My records, I put them in the sink and give them a bit of a wash with soapy water. You know,
it'd probably dissolve and disappear.
Oh god. Okay. All right. Here it is. Underdogs. What's the name of the song again?
Sitting in the Rain, old John Mayall cover.
John Mayall cover. Okay. Starts out sounding very sort of hissy, and then it warms up.
That old green tree.
one. So where did you come across this?
I came off on Trade Me. A lady was selling a whole lot of records, and there was a whole lot of acetates from EMI, and that I got from there. There was a whole lot of rare New Zealand stuff, actually. So this was one of the better ones. So.
Was there fierce bidding, or was it one of those ones where you just kind of picked it up on your own?
It was described under antiques and collectibles and not records, so I got it for a good price.
Yeah, your mic's not even working, Laura, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the next one, is that a record store release, a previous record store release? What is that?
I'm not sure where it came from. It was a release from about the 1990s, the Blue Stars from 1966, and to me I think it's one of the most underrated good rock bands out there. You know, it's got a lot of good mod qualities in it, and it just rocks for a New Zealand number. It's what sort of changed my view on New Zealand music, actually. So.
Hmm. So what would an original of this be worth?
Ooh, I'm picking around about $1,800 to $2,000.
Have you ever seen one?
I've seen one in transit while it was going off to a higher bidder than me.
You just reminded me, actually, I found this at the op shop out in Pukekohe. I found this, the QT's Oh Boy. And that's an old Tanzo record. You want to have a look at that?
Oh, yes, I know
it's got
that
a,
well.
It's got a cover with a woman in fishnets. Wouldn't really pass mustard in the Me Too times. So just the legs, and then it's got sort of Oh Boy and a sort of cartoony graphics. What do you know about the QTs?
Oh, the QTs are an evolution from the Tefari Quintet, and I actually worked with the son of one of the original singers. So
Tefari Quintet, was it?
Tefari Quintet, yeah. There are a whole lot of Tanzer releases during the 1950s, and I've been... buying as many of the Tefari Quintet and the QTs as I can to give to Clint Tefari, the son of one of the original singers, Rangi Tefari.
Yeah. So it was a family business, the QTs, the band?
Yeah, there was a couple of brothers and a couple of cousins, I think, right. There, so from memory.
The Tefari family, okay. Anyway, back to where we're going to listen to the...
Blue Stars.
The Blue Stars, okay, let's go. Social End Product. So from 1966, the interesting thing about when you look at it, the cover, four guys, it looks incredibly contemporary. Like they just look like some guys on off Queen Street today. So they were mods.
They were mods, yeah.
So they, you know, the mods were mods. They were modern. They were anticipating, you know,
what was coming.
Hey, I've got another question. So, like, how with records, how do you determine the value and things? Are you good at with the knowing when their first pressings and all that sort of stuff? How do you work all that stuff out?
Yeah, the first pressings are usually the ones that sort of everybody wants to collect. But unfortunately, with some of the older ones, there's not so many good quality ones left. So the value depends on the quality of the good first pressings that are left. You know, you can get a lot of money for them.
Mm. Now, I found this record at the Avondale Markets one day. I'm going to pass it over to you. It's a guy called Steve Dunstan, and the album's called Magnetic Fields.
Oh.
And it's one of those things called a private pressing. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, a small quantity sort of pressed. If you look at the record, can you tell like what conditions it's in pretty easily? So you're pulling it out there, you're kind of glancing over. I'm just going to push that mic a bit closer to you.
Yeah, it's you just put it in the sunlight to see how many scratches are over it and how many times it's been played. Usually the centres give you a good idea of how many times it's been on a turntable.
So what do you reckon from this one?
That one actually looks in pretty good nick. So
I looked it up on like eBay or no, what's that record collector site?
Discogs.
Discogs. I looked it up on that, and the last copy had gone for $300.
Oh, you'd be making some money then.
Yeah, so I bought it for a buck at the Avondale's.
All
yeah.
right, good profit.
Yeah. Oh, good profit. Good. Anyway, you've brought in also a funkadelic record. Tell us about this. Is this just like a bung old pressing sort of thing that you like, or what's the?
Well, I sort of go through the music genres. I gravitate from one to the other, and then try and find you know, the sort of next level under the sort of the main sort of group, and I just like exploring it. At the moment I'm into a bit of funk and just exploring sort of the underground levels of funk and that sort of thing. So this is a George S. Clinton band. It sort of went in tandem with Parliament. Mm-hmm. And this is Funkadelic's Maggot Brain album, and it's the second song on the side, which is, I think, is pretty good.
And is this just a New Zealand pressing or an American?
No, so it's an original American pressing. So, uh-huh. So, you know, just to get an original American pressing would probably cost me about $100. And if I was just get a new pressing, this is probably getting close to that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but re-releases you can probably pick up for about $10-$15. So.
Right. Okay, so here's Funkadelic, and what was the name of the song again?
Oh, I haven't got my glasses on. Get some of that, I think.
Get some of that.
Come back, shine insufficient fun, y'all get to that.
fan texts on Martin.
Oh, really?
People are lobbying for you to have a whole show.
Oh, really? Oh,
we could arrange that one day.
I've got thousands of records to go through.
Lovely. We've had our special guest on today. That was Martin Klein Adidas, and I'm talking about his forays into record collection. Let's do that. And Record Store Day next week.
I'll be there.
What will your itinerary look like?
At Real Groovy first thing in the morning, I think.
Mm. Okay, and then we'll see you over at Southbound a bit later.
Absolutely.
Because that's where we're broadcasting from next week. It's 8:46, 7 a.m. swim. Got Samuel Harmony and Good Times Radio at 9 a.m. Let's do our little outro for you, Martin.
That was Denizens of the Deep.
And we'll come back after the break with a bit more music.